Welcome to Country Fried Rock. I'm your host, Sloane Spencer. Somehow this year we've ended up on a Texas blues kick, one of those things that seems to happen to us every so often, as we follow one trail down the rabbit hole. So I'll admit that I'm not the most knowledgeable person about blues music, although I certainly appreciate the kinds with which I'm most familiar, of Carolina Piedmont blues, a little bit of Delta blues, and of course, Texas blues. But I'm definitely not an expert. Thankfully, talking with Steve Earle, all I had to do was open the floor, and he takes the ball and runs with it. Steve Earle's brand new record, Terraplane, is out now on New West Records. This week on Country Fried Rock, we decided to take the show on the road for a few weeks, testing out some new technology for mobile recording. Yeah, it sounded like a great idea, but unfortunately, it doesn't sound that great. So don't miss a minute of the Country Fried Rock road trips on countryfriedrock.org.
My guest today on Country Fried Rock is Steve Earle with a new record called Terraplane that goes in a blues direction. Welcome.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm looking forward to chatting with you about this. I actually spoke with Chris Masterson and Eleanor Whitmore right after or right before y'all were getting ready to do a little recording related to this.
Well, Chris has a lot to do with it happening in the first place. I mean, since Chris and Elle came along, this is kind of the best band I've ever had. But Chris, this is what Chris's background is in the blues anyway. It's how he's kind of started. And the acoustic side of the stuff I'm pretty comfortable with. I was in the same room with Mads Lipscomb and Lightnin' Hopkins on more than one occasion, and I've recorded stuff like that before, you know, several times over the course of my career. But there's a thing, if you grow up in Texas, that can be a little intimidating about the electric side of it. I saw Freddie King, and I saw Johnny Winter. I saw, you know, the first brothers bands, the Vaughn Brothers were in. You know, Rocky Hill, who's Dusty Hill, or was Dusty Hill's older brother, he's gone now, but took me to see Rory Gallagher for the first time when I was 17 years old. I know a lot about it, you know, and I was in a blues band when I was in 13 or 14, but I moved away from it and did something else, and it becomes a very, look, there is no L.A. shuffle. There is no New York shuffle. There's a Texas shuffle, and there's a Chicago shuffle, and that's it. So the bar is really high on that stuff if you're from Texas. So it was intimidating to me, but Chris being in the band and just some stuff that sort of happened organically on sound checks over the last few years sort of, I think, got me pointed towards thinking it was time to finally make this record.
That's cool. I didn't realize that he was such an impetus to make that happen, but with his history, that makes sense as well.
It was just, he was there. The tool was in the box, you know. He's like, it was a resource I had at my disposal that I'd never had before. He's really, you know. And I got to see Chris with a Strat in his hands because he's sort of sworn off Stratocasters, and he kind of had to pick one up for this record.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloane Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. Those of y'all who listen on our podcasts, it's a quick hit of Just the Conversation. If you want the full radio program with all the songs that we talk about, ask for it on your local radio station, joining 20 other stations across the country. Get the goods at countryfriedrock.org.
Hey, this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to Country Fried Rock.
I know that you all, as a band, tour quite a bit as well, but what led to the actual writing of these songs? Because you're not just reinterpreting Texas blues tunes. You're doing your own thing with them.
We wrote them. I started writing them, touring with the band, you know, because nearly all my records start with stuff that we start, you know, playing on sound checks. And that happened with this record, too. But then when I realized that, you know, I'm not the first singer or songwriter to make a blues record. Bob Dylan's been doing it almost exclusively for a long time. He, beginning with Bringing It All Back Home, that's kind of what he started doing. And the records that aren't blues records can kind of be counted on one of Billy Joe Shaver's hands. You know, it's not there's only a few records that arguably National Skyline's not, arguably Blood on the Tracks is not, but almost every record since, that's what he's worked with as a palette. And so, you know, it wasn't like I thought I was breaking any new ground. I did realize very quickly that it was still needed to be a record that sort of came up to my standards, you know, lyrically, and which is you know, that bar is kind of high. I just had really good teachers, and I expect a lot of myself, and I think the people that buy my records expect a lot of me as a lyricist. So I worked really, really, really hard on the lyrics on this record, and I wrote like a half of the record. I finished it, you know, on a tour that I did by myself. I would just had a lot of time because I was touring, just no crew, nobody, just me and a guitar and a mandolin and a backpack, and touring mostly by train in Europe last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished most of the songs then, and then went in and recorded it in October.
When you were developing those particular songs that developed when you were doing your solo thing in Europe, when you brought them back to record with the band, did you all work them up first, or did you work them up in the studio?
There were some that we had worked up before I left, but the stuff that was brand new, that they heard for the first time in the studio, there were no rehearsals. But we had enough material that we had, and they did, this band's really good about doing its homework. They were all sent guitar and vocals. As I finished the songs, I made GarageBand guitar and vocal files, and I sent them off as MP3s to everybody in the band as I finished them.
With y'all collaborating in the production role of that, how does working with someone like him help you?
I always have a producer, you know, at least a co-producer. I mean, Ray Kennedy and I made records together for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
he's essentially the engineer, but he's also a co-producer when we make records, and it's just me and him. You know, I've tended towards using outside producers. I made a record with T-Bone. I made a record with John King, with
right.
Washington Square Serenade record. There's some things. The Towns record, there was no need in working with another producer. I was doing that largely guitar vocal, you know, by myself. And the Low Highways, really just me as a producer and Ray as an engineer. I kind of knew exactly what I wanted to do there, and it was really about the band and the way that it sounds. But this was like, you know, Bobby, I've known for a long time. He's made a lot of blues records. He's made John Mayall records. He's made Buddy Guy records. And I just
right.
kind of felt like I wanted that in my camp, you know, when I did this. Ray recorded it, so we were all pretty comfortable. I knew everything would sound good.
I'm your host, Sloan Spencer. You can keep in touch with us on Facebook, but I really like Twitter, where we are at Country Fried Rock, ending with R-O-K. And if you want to see pictures of my shoes, my dog, and my lunch, stop by Instagram. But whatever way you like to hang out, stop by and say hey.
Hey, this is Steve Earle, and you can check out what me and the Dukes are doing for the rest of the year on steveearle.com.
When you're dealing with folks like this, it's obvious that they've got a lot in their own wheelhouse to bring to the table. But you also reference a lot of the deep blues history, I mean, all the way back to the title of the record. When I first saw the title, and I'm admitting my own lack of knowledge, I grew up knowing the Canned Heat version of that Robert Johnson tune.
Yeah, right. Well, the Canned Heat is very much a part of this record because the second concert I ever saw was Canned Heat.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
And so to me, this was as much about, there's three sonic templates for this record. One is Howlin' Wolf Records. Not all
mm-hmm.
Jazz Records, but Howlin' Wolf Records in particular. And then the other two are the first two ZZ Top records
mm-hmm.
and Canned Heat. And Canned Heat was like the second concert I ever went to, and I loved that band. It was one of my very, very favorite bands. Yeah, it's like in 1968, Canned Heat was probably my favorite band next to the Beatles.
You mentioned ZZ Top and their history with Texas blues. You mentioned Rocky Go Hill, Dusty's brother.
I met Gibbons finally through Guy Clark after I went on my pace for Guy in 1975 because he had always known Guy. And I had already met Dusty and actually Frank one time through Rocky Hill, who was I was pretty close to. Rocky was, you know, was Dusty's brother, and originally that rhythm section that became ZZ Top was a band called American Blues with Rocky on
mm-hmm.
the top, and that dissolved, and just as the Moving Sidewalks was breaking up, Gibbons' band, and then those guys went, you know, became the ZZ Top rhythm section when Bill put Top together. So, but I knew Rocky really well. He and Towns were really close, and I knew him through Towns. And like I said, the first time I saw Rory Gallagher, I went with Rocky Hill, saw him at Liberty Hall in Houston. The North Texas thing is more of an electric thing, more of a shuffle thing. It's Freddie King and you know, Albert King, and, you know, is the biggest influence on the Vaughn Brothers, you know, especially Steve. Then Freddie King's really kind of, when I was growing up, he was kind of the guy up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the people that came out of Fort Worth, you know, the Vaughns are from Dallas. Dusty and Frank are from Dallas. But people came to Houston for the most part. The Vaughns went to Austin, but because you could do that by then. But when I was growing up and, you know, a young teenager, and when I first started becoming interested in music, Houston was the big time in Texas. That's
mm-hmm.
where Mike and Hopkins was. That's where ZZ Top was. That's where it just was the big city. And Sir Douglas Quintet were my local hometown heroes in San Antonio, but She's About to Move was recorded in Houston. and at Sugar Hill. So I just I gravitated towards Houston, and I knew Towns was there too. And the Houston thing, because of Lightning and Mats, that's where Top was from. And if you listen to what Billy Gibbons does, it's kind of Lightning Hopkins really loud. And that's, it probably Lightning is big an influence as anybody on Billy's playing. But he's one of the greatest guitar players on the planet. Maybe, because of ZZ Top being such a thing as a band and the records in the 80s, I think there's a tendency to not quite give him his due as one of the greatest guitar players that's ever lived. He's really a monster. He still plays great, and he still does really interesting stuff. So he's the real deal.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloane Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. We've had an incredible year with more people finding us on the radio and our podcast than we ever imagined. Thank you all so much. Careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
Hey, this is Steve Earle, and my new record, Terraplane, is available kind of anywhere that you can get records, but I'd go buy it at your independent local record store where you can get it on vinyl. Record Store Day single will be a version of Terraplane Blues, my version of Robert Johnson's Terraplane Blues. The main thing you have to understand about, and I think we get to that on this record, You're the Best Lover is Smokestack Lightning, basically. It started out trying to be Lightning Hopkins, but it turned into Smokestack, and I just let it be that, and I just decided to stay with the acoustic guitar because I'm pretty comfortable on that instrument, and it just sounded cool with Chris's electric against my acoustic. And we stayed with that. But the fact of the matter is, what it captures is the thing that blues has become, this improvisational long form of music and live performance. But on records, those classic records, they were jukebox records. And you don't make a song longer than 2 minutes, 30 seconds on the jukebox, because otherwise you're cheating yourself out of quarters. So they were short records. They were made for people to keep putting money in the jukebox and to dance to. And,
right.
They're essentially pop records. And the fact that the songs on Afterburner and Eliminator being big pop hits does not disqualify them from being the blues to me at all. They're not the blues, then Smokestack Lightning's not the blues. Find me a Chess record longer than 3 minutes long.
You mentioned a lot about friends in music. What, if anything, that is newer on the scene catches your ear?
I can also be, really insular and not listen to anything new and be really behind. So I poke my head up every once in a while because I watch television. I don't, I read and I watch HBO is normally what I do for entertainment. I don't go out and hear music very much. In the last few years, I tended to notice singer-songwriters when they pop up. I've championed Joe Pug for the last 6 or 7 years since I've known him, because I think he's really great. Willie Mason is another guy I think is really great. I think the Punch Brothers are the best band in the world at this moment in any kind of music. Any kind of music. And it's like when they're playing bluegrass, they're not even breathing hard. And they do that as well as anybody does. I wish they would do it more, but I understand why they don't. Aoife O'Donovan kills me. I think she's a bad singer-songwriter, and seeing her out on her own, I think you're going to see something really exciting from her in the next couple of years. And, I love the new Taylor Swift record. I think it's a really great record, every fucking second of it. So, when I listen to pop music, it's usually stuff like that that I just, I better listen to this or I'm really going to be left behind. And I just sort of knew. I mean, I was very slow figuring out who Taylor Swift was, as much as, she was already huge. But I just, I knew, okay, she's a big deal. I mean, because I remember Garth Brooks coming along and being a big deal, and I went and checked that out, and they didn't knock me out when it came right down to it. It just wasn't my deal. But the first time I saw Taylor was at the Grammys doing Mean, and, I was just nominated that year, so I had good seats, and I think she opened the show that year, and I got it. I went, oh, she's writing about her, and people are relating to her experience because it's happened to them. That's what this job is. That's when I finally realized, who she is and what she is. And she's a real life songwriter. The night I met Johnny Cash, he came all the way across the stage to talk to me about Little Rock and Roller. which is
that's awesome.
You know, because he could relate to that experience. He'd left kids behind and been on the road. And I've had truck drivers talk to me about Little Rock and Roll, and it's just as real to them, even though people don't necessarily want to hear you feeling sorry for yourself because you're riding around on a bus that costs more than their house.
Right.
But they can relate to the part about missing your kids.
Are you writing any new books?
Yeah, the one I'm working on now is like a literary memoir. It is about my life, but it's not the whole thing because that would be boring and uninteresting to me, so I wouldn't be able to get through it. I'm having a hard enough time waking up in the morning and writing about nothing but me as it is. It's largely about recovery. It's called I Can't Remember If We Said Goodbye, and I'm about halfway through it.
That is actually something that this radio program has a commitment to, a particular charity that works with musicians who are seeking recovery and assistance for depression. So that's something that is important to us as well.
Hoping to deliver it before, you know, and publish it before the end of the year. Yeah.
What do you have with touring for this record?
The tour is going to start basically in April in Louisiana or Texas because we're playing Stagecoach is what I do know. And that's like around April 24th or 5th, 25th, something like that. I'm also doing a benefit for Autism Speaks in L.A. The day before Stagecoach on my own with Steven Stills and some other people. We both have kids with autism. So, and my youngest son, John Henry, has autism. You know, and then we'll tour through the summer, right up to Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, which is sort of a natural demarcation point because we play that every year. Then we'll break, and Sean Colvin and I are going to make a record. While that's getting ready, and we've been touring together some, so we're going to make a record together. And it's really a band. It's not a record of duets. It's really a band record. It's Colvin and Earl record. And Buddy Miller's going to produce it, and we'll make that in Nashville probably in November. And then I'll go back out on the road with the Dukes to do the blues thing for, you know, the rest of the fall. Record with Colvin will come out sometime in the spring, but I will have to go to Australia with my band in April of next year, which will be the very last leg of the tour, simply because there's a festival there called East Coast Blues and Roots that happens Easter weekend that we pretty much anchor our Australian tours to.
Thank you. Safe travels, and I very much appreciate your time.
All right, thanks. Bye.
CountryFriedRock.org. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Our 2015 bed music is from Drivin' and Cryin's debut album, Scarred But Smarter. Got a great band you want to hear on Country Fried Rock? The best thing to do is tweet us at Country Fried Rock. That's Country Fried, R-O-K. You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. Just search Country Fried Rock. Country Fried Rock radio programs are distributed to public radio through the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts.
Ever he been helping us from Country Fried Rock?
I always have to remember, it's SteveRoll.com, isn't it? Yeah, because SteveRoll.net was like is the one that the girl started when I was in jail. Okay.
Right.
Hey, y'all, it's Sloan Spencer. Thanks so much for finding all these new old episodes of Country Fried Rock. I've got something completely different available these days called Sleep with Rockstars. And it all started from a listener comment back in the very early days of Country Fried Rock who said, you know, I slow these down to 75% and fall asleep to them. And I was like, well, over the years, I started thinking about it, and I recently started Sleep with Rockstars. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, and you can find it at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.